It's Easter time again, and many people spend at least part of it in a church, which is usually a building used for public worship, with stained glass windows, beautiful architecture, great acoustics for choirs, and hard wooden seats. Somewhere one can go to be in the presence of God. But in my case, a building never really felt like a proper sanctuary, especially on Easter, which is traditionally a time for celebrating spring in the Northern Hemisphere, long before Christianity. So I find myself going to places that more appropriately feels like the house of the divine. The English word Easter, which parallels the German word Ostern, is derived from the Anglo-Saxon word denoting the goddess of spring, love, and fertility. While Christians are taught that it celebrates the resurrection of Jesus, which may or may not be historically true, what is undisputed fact is that since prehistoric times, spring has always been associated with the renewal of life, when the vernal equinox is in harmony. Night and day are of equal length and in perfect equilibrium. Dark and light, masculine and feminine, inner and outer, in perfect balance. But the year is now waxing, and at this moment, light defeats the dark. The natural world is coming alive. The sun is gaining in strength, and the days are becoming longer and warmer. The energy is expansive and exuberant. It's the first day of spring, and the fertility of nature is abundant and obvious. And before there were any Roman basilicas, which is what the cathedrals and churches were based on, the Germanic goddess was traditionally honored in the month of April with festivals to celebrate fertility, renewal, and rebirth. Being outside in solitude is just fine for me, where I can witness the glory of nature firsthand, smelling the fresh ocean breeze, feeling the warm, nurturing rays from the sun, and enjoying the sounds of birds chirping, rather than the sermons filled with suppressive superstition and political propaganda that have taken over the religious institutions that claim to be about spirituality, but seem to be more and more about secular social engineering. The date of the Christian Easter is determined by the phase of the moon. In Celtic tradition, the hare is sacred to the goddess and is the totem animal of lunar goddesses such as Hecate, Freya, and Holda. So the hare, or rabbit, is a symbol of rebirth and the moon, which dies every morning and is resurrected every evening. Also represents the birth of nature in spring. The goddess most closely associated with the hare is Ostara. Both the moon and the hare were believed to die daily in order to be reborn. Thus, the hare is a symbol of immortality, but also for fertility and abundance, as the hare can conceive while pregnant. Over the centuries, the symbol of the hare and Ostara has become the Easter Bunny, who brings eggs to children on Easter morning, the Christian day of rebirth and resurrection. The egg, and all seeds, contains all of the potential of life, symbolizing the rebirth of nature, the fertility of the earth, and of all creation itself. In many traditions, the egg is a symbol of the whole universe, sometimes called the cosmic egg, containing a balance of male and female, light and dark, in the egg yolk and egg white, in perfect balance, like the spring equinox, when all is in balance for just a moment, although the underlying energy is one of growth and expansion. In some mythologies, the goddess Ostara is associated with the serpent energy, which in tantric philosophy is called Kundalini, and it is through the divine serpent when one can most clearly see the ancient links between the Western world and the East. Ostara means Eastern Star, which is of course the planet Venus, mirrored in the goddesses Aphrodite, Freya, Ishtar, and Inanna. Venus is also known as the morning and evening star, because it can be seen before the sun rises and shortly after it sets, making a five-pointed flower shape in the sky over its eight-year orbit around the sun. For this reason, Venus is associated with the five-pointed pentagram and also the eight-pointed star. Ancient Mesopotamia, and ancient Egypt for that matter, had a variety of male and female deities associated with aspects of the moon, and in many cases, the moon was male and the planet Venus was his female consort, with the sun being the exalted child. Of course, this is a generalization which changes depending on context, but on the other side of the Atlantic, the traditional Maya generally assume the moon to be female, and the moon's perceived phases are accordingly conceived as the stages of a woman's life. The Maya moon goddess is associated with sexuality and procreation, fertility, and growth, not only of human beings, but also of the vegetation and the crops. And like in European alchemy, the moon goddess is specifically associated with water. In classic Maya art, she is shown as a young woman holding her rabbit and framed by the crescent of the waxing moon, which is her most important identifying attribute. The lunar rabbit plays an esoteric role of the trickster, which in the biblical context is played by the serpent in the garden, Lucifer, which in Roman folklore is the name for the planet Venus. And in ancient Mesoamerica, the Aztec and Maya also identified a serpent with the planet Venus, ushering in the new agricultural season. What I find particularly interesting is that the goddess often associated with the moon is featured in ancient Mayan depictions with one or several snakes in her hair, which is strikingly similar to Medusa. Transatlantic contact spanning the entire duration of the Holocene and late Pleistocene is anthropological fact, which, unlike the obsolete out of Africa theory, is backed by genetic and archaeological evidence and numerous mythological accounts, which all speak to an ancient, global, seafaring civilization which not only tracked the stars and constellations but relied on them for navigation, as there was no GPS satellites in antiquity. Many adherents of modern Abrahamic faiths tend to oversimplify astrotheology, assuming it's an attempt to replace spirituality with celestial mechanics, which is false, as the deeper esoteric symbolism found in these ancient myths, generically referred to as pagan, are several layers deep, and the stories depicted in the sky is symbolically mirrored in the individual as well, whether it be the seven planetary gods corresponding to the seven chakras, or the rebirth and resurrection of astronomical cycles corresponding to the immortality of the soul. Of course, while we're on this earthly existence, our bodies require nourishment. So I decided to try something new on my way home, which is a restaurant in Santa Monica called Bazil, which I believe is of Greek origin and means royal or regal. My waiter suggested that I try the niçoise salad with salmon, and I have to admit, this was much better than the salmon at Cheesecake Factory and also less expensive. Not to mention, it has much less cholesterol than Easter eggs. So I'm going to have to give this place a big thumbs up, and I'm sure I'll be back soon to order the same thing. I wish everyone a happy Easter. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.